I feel like I'm on mushrooms all the time. That's how heightened my intuition is. It's not this all of a sudden new intuition. It is just a deepening and an amplification of how I already was. You had a lifetime of a world telling you not to listen to your intuition. Then you get pregnant for the first time and then motherhood hits and you're like, you have to.
I think sometimes people get so caught up in the how, like they make the how so big, even to like having a baby. I think people put so much thought into like, well, how am I going to have this baby? How am I going to integrate this baby into my life? And they get caught up in that versus just trusting that that's what they want.
When I first started journaling, I was not journaling every day. That did not come easy to me. I knew there was some kind of magical thing happening with this, so I stayed with it. By staying with it, the book started writing itself.
We can redefine our past, and then we can't tell the truth between who we actually were and who we are now. But journals are like a moment in time where you're like, oh, actually, I was this way. I'm remembering it differently, but this is how it was. I think that's a really big gift.
If you want to stay the same, don't start morning pages. You want to change, you want to evolve, you want to grow. Start it. It changed everything in my life. I'm like, what hasn't journaling done for my life? I don't know if I have an answer for that.
Welcome to the Fully Expressed Podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna
and Samantha.
And this is a show where we're inviting you into your fullest expression in life, love, and business.
Enjoy. Hey, you guys, welcome back to another episode. Today's guest is very near and dear to our hearts and has been on the podcast before. It's our friend, Kelsey Erickson, who is an intuitive leadership coach, depth psychologist, and creativity expert dedicated to expanding consciousness and liberating the greatest women of our generation. She is a three-time author and the founder of Morning Pages Club, a daily journaling community designed to help individuals reconnect with their inner voice through intentional reflection.
Kelsey is such a gift. I mean, just listening to her speak, you are literally inspired to be more intuitive and more creative. She really walked us through how her journaling has really brought her to finding her voice, finding her reflection, also just seeing her listen to her intuition as a new-to-be mama and how that has strengthened. I swear you're going to take so much from this episode and we're so, so excited for you to listen.
Every time she comes on, she just drops all the wisdom. You're going to love it.
Enjoy.
Hi.
Hi.
Welcome. We're so excited to have you today.
Thank you.
We love you so much.
Welcome back.
Yeah, and welcome back.
Thank you.
Round two.
Second timer.
Literally, what, a year?
About, yeah.
Yeah,
about
it has been a year.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it has been a year.
I know.
That's wild.
I know.
I know, but so much has changed in life since then. Maybe you can give them a little update on what's transitioned.
Where should I start?
Well, last time we talked about intuition. Yes. And you were finishing your program at school.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in a year's time, I finished my master's degree in depth psychology and creativity. A few weeks later, I self-published 3 books. And a few weeks after that, we decided to start a family.
So much.
And now she's
through intuition. When I say we decided to, it was like, people are like, how did you know it was time? It's like, we're both super intuitive. It just
felt right.
It was time. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Can you share a little bit about how your intuition led you through the publishing of through 3 books and like birthing those and then making a baby, eventually birthing the baby?
Yes. Yeah. So I had a long-standing, I don't even know if I would call it a limiting belief, but it was like this thought, line of thinking that I had to finish my first book at the corner of head and heart first. Mm-hmm. And once that book was out in the world, then I could do other books. You know, I could start writing them, I could start dreaming about them. And in my master's program, the way we learned was through creativity. Mm-hmm. So I created my 2 other books as projects for my studies. And once I had these 2 other books, I was like, wait, what am I doing? Like, all these books are ready to go. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot about like, okay, who is the type of woman that I want to be? Who is the type of woman that I'm becoming? And what does she do? And how is that different than what I do? And I was like, I'm the type of woman who launches 3 books at once. Mm-hmm. Like, truly, that was my, I want to show up in that way. I want to have that type of energy. Mm-hmm. And intuitively, they all came together and it was such a flow state. And I work with a lot of aspiring writers. I'm like, this is like any other creation. You cannot force this to happen. And that's what I long had been doing with At the Corner of Head and Heart. I had so many false starts, false labors with the book because I would try to force it. I would try to force it to be done, to be ready, to be out in the world. Mm. And creative initiatives just don't work like that. You know, I can't force this baby to come at any mm-hmm. time. You know, it's a natural phenomenon. So, yeah, it aligned with what my intuition was saying, what my energy was ready for, the type of person that I was mm-hmm. becoming. And then they were here. And once I finished my master's program and my books, those two things were really core to things that I wanted to do before I entered motherhood. Mm-hmm. I was really focused on becoming my own person, knowing myself deeply, being that type of conscious mother, even when we were still questioning if that was the path that we were going to go down. And once those two things happened, it was like, yeah, I'm ready
to be a mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and here we are a year later.
Literally.
Yeah, truly.
I vividly remember when we're in the car and you're like, I'm just going to launch all three books. And I looked at you, I was like, okay, you're going to launch all three books.
Yes, yeah.
And it was as simple as that. And I think sometimes people get so caught up in the how. And instead of just listening to the desire or listening to the knowing, mm-hmm. and you're just so good at listening to the knowing.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's one of the most inspiring things of being in friendship with you, because you're just like, yeah, that just is what it is. And you don't let the how, the steps, or how you're going to get there matter as big as I think people really make it. Like, they mm-hmm. make the matter, the how, so big, yes. even to like having a baby, you yeah. know, I think people put so much thought into like, well, how am I going to have this baby? How am I going to integrate this baby into my life? And they get caught up in that versus just trusting that that's what they want.
Yes. Well, with everything, life unfolds. Mm. And the more I try to like push it to happen or force it to happen, like I could have said, I'm going to publish all three books on this date. And I could have been lost in the how, but I chose to go with the flow of how they wanted to emerge and how they wanted to present themselves. And that takes a lot of discipline and focus and
trust
in myself, in the universe. But it's also countercultural, because we're told, you know, put the date out there and work toward your goal and work hard. And especially if you're working hard, then it must be
a result
worth it. You must be, you know, successful or whatever the case may be. And the way I know how intuition and creativity works, it just doesn't, that's not how it works.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm way happier when I choose that path. It. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember we were with Whitney at the table and yeah. she was, I'm bringing this up because I know there's listeners that are on the verge of wanting to write a book. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to write it. I want to get it out this year. And she was putting a lot of pressure on herself, but she wasn't really, or not using her as an example, but sometimes we end up putting limitations or timelines on our creativity. Mm-hmm. And you're really behind the fact of like, it will come when it comes.
Yes.
Yeah. And so in your writing process, just so curious, for these books, did you dedicate every day to writing the book? Mm-hmm. Or what did it look like throughout the week to like really bring these, even with school, right? Because these projects, mm-hmm. I'm just so curious, how did you navigate even like a deadline for school?
Yeah. Well, did we talk about journaling last time?
No, we're going to. Yeah,
I know we're going to get to it, yeah. but really I have to just start there when I started, there's a book called The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. Read it like 6 times. I'm a super fan of her and her work. One of the things that she recommends that creatives do is a practice called Morning Pages. And I started Morning Pages. And in that process of daily journaling, let me just also be completely transparent on my journaling journey. When I first started journaling, I was not journaling every day. That did not come easy to me, but I knew there was some kind of magical thing happening with this, so I stayed with it. By staying with it, all of a sudden I had started writing at the corner of head and heart. I didn't know it was called that at the time. I didn't know it was going to be a book. At the time I had a blog. I thought, well, maybe this is, you know, content ideas or whatever. And the book started writing itself. Again, I did not sit down. I didn't have an outline. All right, time to write my book, chapter one. It just happened. It happened in my daily journaling. And that's how the other books happen. That's how a lot of my ideas for my papers happen too, mm-hmm. because I show up every day to my journal and mm-hmm. I am open to what is going to come through me. I write nonfiction, but I'm also a poet. And I end every day of my daily journaling with a poem, because it's my way of signaling to the universe that I'm creative and my mm-hmm. day is starting on a creative note. And that's how the other two books came through too. Those were a little bit more structured because I did have a deadline because of the nature and structure of school, but I stuck to my medium and that's how they came through.
Yeah. So how do you navigate? Because there's so,
many creatives that decide to get a master's or a graduate degree or something that requires you to not force creativity, but there's a deadline, right? So you have to figure out a way to navigate that. And I'm curious how you did.
I loved the structure of it. Like, that's one thing that I do really miss about my program, because as much as I like to go with the flow, these masculine containers that we find ourselves in can be so healthy for understanding your creative process. And that was one of the very first things I did when I started school, is I actually, my creative project was studying my creative process. So I created like a transcript of my thinking through every step of creating this. I was doing kind of like oracle cards. They were watercolor paintings, and I was asking people, you know, for their interpretations of it. But I documented like my talk track throughout that whole thing, and I pinpointed specific moments where I get snagged, where I get blocked, where I get, you know, in my head, and how I can better overcome them. So the whole time in this program, I'm studying my creative flow, my creative process. I loved, it was basically a quarter for each class. And I learned how to get into a creative rhythm of like, oh, every 90 days I could be doing this. And I still think this now, like if I wanted to start a book today, I could flow within that 90 days enough to like have a finished product at the end of that time. So it was working on me as much as I was allowing my process to work in the model too. My ideal form though is still, don't give me 90 days, don't give me 180 days, don't give me 10 years, just let me unfold. I have that flexibility to do that though with my creative endeavors, but it was a test.
Yeah.
And it was fruitful. So I like that too, but yeah.
Tell me about journaling. Like, what does it do for you? Where do we begin?
Yeah, I also did the artist way. I've done it twice. I couldn't make it through the first time. So then I think it was two or three years later, I picked it up again. And I did actually make it through the whole time. And it was very I feel like it unlocked my creativity again.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not a writer. Like, I'm not a I don't want to say I'm not a writer. I'm not a huge fan of writing. Like, I'm not a journaler. I've never been a journaler. I love to read, but I'm not. So that's why I think it was so challenging. But I found after I wanted to paint, I got into jewelry not long after.
Yes.
Like, a lot of creativity opened from that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I so happen to be the creative type where morning pages equals my medium. But I had the similar experience when I first started The Artist Way the first time. Like, all of a sudden I was doing acrylic paintings and watercolor paintings, and I started collaging. Like, it really did open this like creative gateway for me.
Yeah.
And I will say to anyone who's like, I'm not a writer either. And I've gotten that before too. Like, well, of course she writes every day or journals every day. She's a writer. There's no right or wrong way to journal. So I have even one of my clients right now, I'm like, what's your medium? And he said drawing. And I was like, well, then that's what your journaling is. So if I give you a journal prompt, draw your answer.
I love that.
Don't force yourself to write if you're not a writer. Stop forcing anything.
I laugh because some days I'd be like, I am feeling da-da-da. You feel silly at first because it does prompt you to write whatever's on your mind. Yes. But you're just like, okay. But I love that idea of maybe drawing that.
Yes, or paint or doodle or make a list or make a graph or whatever, however your medium or your form of expression is, like, use that for journaling. You don't have to look a certain way to be a journaler or to be a writer. I started journaling and it changed everything. Like I said, I started writing a book in it. It's how I started to get to know my voice, meaning how I express in this world. Like, I know full expression is so important to you too in this platform. And like, that is how I figured out when I was using my language, my voice versus parroting things that I had heard or trying to articulate something. It was like, no, really, this is what you sound like, because I spent time with myself every morning. It was also a huge gateway into my intuition to know, like, you pretty quickly build your ability to see, like, am I writing this because I think someone's going to read this one day? Or am I writing this because this is like my whole truth? And this is raw and real. And yeah, maybe someday after I'm gone, my family's reading this and they're going to say like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. Or I'm not concerned with that. But you can tell a difference when you're writing truly from the heart versus, again, you think you should be saying something, or, you know, you start to call yourself out. it led me to stop drinking alcohol. It led me to finally leaving my corporate job, full-time in my business. It has done everything for me. And so when I talk about morning pages, particularly even my community, I say it's a daily practice that changes your life. If you want to stay the same, don't start morning pages. You want to change, you want to evolve, you want to grow, start it, try it, because like I just shared, it changed everything in my life. I'm like, what hasn't journaling done for my life? I don't know if I have an answer for that. Everything happens in my journal for me.
Can you share more about the alcohol portion? Because that's also what one of your books that you released is all about.
My first year, for a long, long, long time, like almost a decade, I wanted to stop drinking. I didn't know how to navigate it. There's so much to it. We could do a whole nother episode on that. When I did finally decide that, yeah, now I'm done, which was an intuitive decision. I finally trusted my intuition enough to act on it. I spent the first year kind of in solitude with it. Like Dane knew, my husband knew that I wasn't drinking, and like my sister and maybe a couple close friends, but I was not fully expressed with it because it was still this like intimate journey that I was walking down. So my journal was that place to be like, oh, today feels really good, or like, oh, I'm feeling so much better. Like, I'm so happy I did this. Like it was my sounding board when I wasn't quite ready to be open with that. And that's how I picked up my own story. And then once I finally found an alcohol-free community and started hearing everyone else's story, I was like, oh, I have my story. It's documented. But then I see the power in hearing everyone else's stories. And that's what that book ended up being. It just how influenced I was by, wow, everyone comes to this in such a different way. So I knew my story intimately. But once I started hearing the stories of other women, then that's how that book came to be. But my journal was really my safe place to navigate through those questions and is it time? Is it not? How do I feel? Yeah.
How much time do you dedicate to your journal? Like your morning pages?
I mean, if I'm like being a pokey puppy, it could take like 90 minutes. But I love a long, slow morning. So I'm like, you know, making tea and then I'm sitting back down and I'm taking the next page and I'm thinking about the poem I'm writing. But if it's like one of those mornings where just like not every morning you have the ability to do that, 15 minutes, 5 minutes a page about to like maybe 45 minutes on average.
I remember we were in conversation with someone and you're like, well, if you feel like you don't have time for Morning Pages Club, you actually need Morning Pages Club.
Yes.
Morning Pages.
There's so many. I'm glad you brought that up because when I was thinking about today's episode, it was like, just these trends that I see, like a resistance to the page is a resistance to some part of your life and or change. Because like I said, it will change your life. As that moment in which you think like, well, I'm not a journaler. I'm not going to do that. Or maybe you wrote one time and things started to shift and you got a little scared. Because I call it a psychoactive process. Like it kicks up the dust and then sometimes it's in your eyes and you're like, I can't see now. Like, you know, it really shakes things up. And it, you have to know how to tend to yourself in those moments, which is why I love Morning Pages Club so much, because it's not just like what was my experience for so many years. It's not just you doing it alone. You're doing it in community. And yeah, but the second that there's a resistance to it, it just tells me like your soul basically in that moment is saying, you're going to learn something here. Something's going to shift. You're going to have a shift in perspective. You're going to make a different decision. You're going to show up differently. And as soon as ego hears any kind of change on the radar, you know, it's got to shut it down.
It freaks out. Oh. It's like, oh, no. Oh, my. I don't know. You can't do that.
Oh, my.
Oh, no.
I'm laughing because I was driving with Austin and I said, I just like love your morning. Like, I love the idea of morning pages, right? But I said to him, I'm just not a journaler. I just don't write, you know, but I'm really intrigued by it. And it sounds so cool. Now I'm like, what am I resisting? I love it.
Yeah. And within Morning Pages Club, like, here's what I like to say. When you see my practice in action, I am very close to what I call like a morning pages traditionalist. I do the 3 pages. I do it in the morning. I mean, that might start to shift in a few months here. But in Morning Pages Club, what I'm trying to to create a container for, or what I have created a container for, is for the ability for you to integrate this into your life and your world. So like I said, it doesn't have to be with words. It could be with drawing. Mm-hmm. It could be sketches of rings. And as you're doing your jewelry sketching, your stuff is coming through. You're just, you're being a vessel for consciousness. You don't have to do it in the morning. You don't have to do 3 pages a day. The very first day of every month, you get a daily prompt in Morning Pages Club. The very first day, the question is, what is your goal for journaling this month? I set this intention still to this day. What am I expecting to get done this month? Mm-hmm. And I always say, set a goal smaller than you think, like one sentence a week. Start there. If you can do 4 weeks of one sentence, you will start to build self-trust, because ultimately that is what Morning Pages is an act of, is an act of showing up for yourself and proving and showing yourself that you're worthy of showing up and taking care. And you're the type of woman who does stick to what she says she's going to do, and you can accomplish these goals. Even that sounds so small, like, but don't underestimate one sentence.
It's huge.
A week for 4 weeks.
So you give a prompt a week or a prompt a day?
A prompt a day. And then we have a community journaling session, a guided journaling session. And then I'm always texting in random prompts, or like, hey, this happened in my pages today, and sharing those little tidbits along the way. But yeah, it's a daily prompt. I write all of them. Very proud of that. I say I handwrite them, but what I'm trying to express is like, they're not,
you're not using
ChatGPT prompts.
Yeah.
They're based in depth psychology, in intuition. Like past months have been on intuitive connection, or like balancing the in-between. So like the letting go. We had 3 months in a row actually that were the art of letting go. How do you navigate the in-between, the becoming part of that? April is going to be on abundance. May is still too far away. I can't possibly know what'll intuitively come through right now.
There's a lot happening. So
April's close enough that I know it will be abundance. So they're themed, but they're also very open. They're also by design. Some of the prompts repeat. So I'll say, what is a story that you repeatedly tell yourself? That's kind of the master prompt. Then a week later, it'll have that same prompt. What is a story you repeatedly tell yourself? And then it'll say, go deeper. And then the next one might be like, would you ever tell that to a friend? Something like that. But it you have to go through the layers of it. So it's very depth oriented. It's not surface level stuff. It's not like, what's your favorite food?
I love that.
Yeah.
What's your favorite food?
Though I could probably make that a really deep question.
That could be deep too.
You could probably make it really deep.
But I probably would do that.
You would learn a lot from someone.
Yeah. I probably would do that in the community session. Like, we would do some kind of intuitive exercise. And
my favorite food's this. Know this. Know this. I have no boundaries. I don't
know. What is that a sign of? Yeah, literally. Like I mean, if there's a will, there's a way. And I always have the will. But yeah, it's, you know, like I said, there's everything in my life that has been intuitive and aligned has happened through or adjacent to my journaling practice. So like I said, I'm a model for what's possible, but Morning Pages Club is designed for you to make it your own. And I don't know a better way to become fully expressed than to know your own voice, to spend that time with yourself, to be connected to your world in that way.
What are some of the feedback that you're receiving, or like stories or like tests or case studies that you're hearing from the members?
Something that has come up for me lately based on what people are saying is like, oh, this is a way of helping you become sustainably unstuck.
Cool.
So I'm stuck in my business. I'm stuck in what job I should do next. I'm stuck in this relationship. The prompts are guiding you to just an unstuck place. Like you're, like I said, you're kicking up your own dust, and like when it lands, you're in control of like how messy it is and what that looks like. And you're gaining that self-trust to know what to do with it. The intuitive connection is by far the strongest feedback that I get. Like month to month in our community session, you know, they'll give updates on things that have changed, and it's like, oh yeah, like I intuitively had a feeling, and yeah, it was like one of those prompts, like it led me to this. And it's just very cool to hear all this unlocking that happens. And, you know, I put the question out there and stuff happens. And I love that, because questions are so simple and so underrated, but truly a fundamental part of being an intuitive leader is asking better questions and being willing to ask questions of yourself. So if you can sit down with the prompt and explore and be open, you probably are going to get unstuck. You're going to have clarity that you didn't have before.
One thing I love you said too is I think we all –
you know, I've listened to people who've gone to silent retreats and they realize that the stories they're telling themselves are the same. But then if they, like one woman in particular went to a silent retreat, was like, wow, I'm telling a lot of the same, like a lot of my thoughts are the same. Mm-hmm. And I think there was quite a bit of journaling involved and all of that. And then I think it was 6 months later, she went back and all the thoughts had changed actually, but they were still a cycle of the same thoughts, but they were different thoughts. And it made her realize, which I learned this too when I did morning pages, like, wow, I'm really dwelling on certain things.
Yes.
And they're not that important, because when she went back in that example to the silent retreat, she's like, wow, all those issues I had 6 months ago are gone. Like, they're not even on my mind. I'm not thinking about any of these. And it made her realize, as it sounds like these morning pages do too, that so many times we're stuck because we're in a loop.
Yes.
And we don't realize we're in a loop. Yes. And when you write it down, it's almost like you're giving yourself freedom to be out of the loop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have journaled a lot in my life. I really do love journaling, but I haven't gone back to it in a while. I go back to it in sprints. But when I look back at old journals from, like, I don't know, high school and talking about my exes and things like that, and I read them, there are themes and patterns. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, I start every sentence the same way. Or like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, you start every sentence the same way. And I'm like, oh, and I'm definitely feeling like the same way that I did in high school or in college. Like, there's like these themes and these patterns. And it's so wild to go back and read them whenever I like move again, or like, uh-huh, I come across those journals. Cause I mean, I have a stack, and Nick used to journal a lot too.
Austin's a big journaler.
He is a journal a lot. I journal in like moments of like, oh, I really need this. I think it'd be good for me to journal more continuously. Nick has these like books that are like this big. Oh, and gosh, he has like a system to his journal. They're like,
of course he does.
He's a fucking system to his journal. Anyways, we always go back to them and we see like, oh my gosh, look at the patterns. Like, I say the same thing, and like, mm-hmm, I always come back to this. And it opens you up in so many ways. I was also going to say, I love that you said that we can choose to journal in any way, because like for me, speaking out loud is my form of journaling. And maybe I don't actually speak into something, which I've actually been thinking about like transcribing it, but like my walks where I speak out loud, like that's like my, I call them my chats with God, mm-hmm, but that's my journaling. And mm-hmm, it's literally just me saying whatever is on my mind. But you're giving me the idea of like, oh, would it be nice if I had questions? But then also like, I kind of want to put it into a transcription and like start to see my patterns in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. That is one of the most beautiful parts of journaling to me, is the looking back, because mm-hmm, that's also an act of self-trust to be able to witness yourself and see, look at how far I've come. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are like, do I have to read my morning pages? And I'm like, no, like maybe, you know, once a quarter if you want. But I think some of the most beautiful moments are ones from so long ago that, like, I have a journal from when Dane and I started dating, high school sweethearts, you know, and I'm just like, this is hilarious. And there's still, this love still so deeply exists, but it's such a different form, such different language for it. But that is, you know, one thing I have been thinking a lot about lately, it's like, the documentation of our lives. And my journal one means that I have, because I'm not always good about taking pictures. And like I was saying at the conference this weekend, that like, mm-hmm, I have two pictures of me that prove that I sat in a classroom and completed my master's program. Mm-hmm. Two in 2.5 years. But I have journals upon journals that say, I'm taking the train to school today and I'm so excited, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, our time on this planet is really short. And I don't want, you know, a ton of junk that gets passed on, and like someone has to eventually go through that. But I do want something. And I think this is why I love my book process. It's just, I want things that represent like, I was here on this planet. I don't want to show like, look at all this like success and impact that I had. I just want little things that say like, this was a woman who cared about other people and did her best to follow her mission and her purpose. There's something so beautiful about that.
And the documentation of that.
Yes.
I remember you were saying, right when you graduated from school, you're like, I want to host an event so I can document all my projects. Like, I want to share my projects with the world. And, you know, it's so beautiful that you want to be seen in that. I think sometimes people don't want to be seen in their successes, or even not even a success, accomplishments or achievements or creations, because they're like, so
existence.
They feel so vulnerable to put their art, whatever they created, right? Like, it doesn't have to be like drawing, but like a project that you worked on that you put a lot of energy into that you loved. Like, how cool would it be to like share that with the world?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in the process of it too, I just, there's, in a lot of the work that I do, when people are trying to connect into their purpose, it either is this like, I don't have a purpose, or it's this like far out thing, like such a grand act, like I need to be saving babies or inventing a new type of medicine for the world or something. And if it's not that, then like I'm not a person of purpose. And we do things every day that are so purposeful that we're not even trying to do, but they're shifting the world around us. They're impacting the people that we interact with, hopefully for the better. And that's the kind of little moments that I want captured. Because otherwise it's not.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
I think it's cool too. Your baby is going to get to read into the inside of who you were before you became a mom and your evolution. Mm-hmm. I think that's so cool because I think, you know, my parents saved yearbooks and just random things, but I would love to like get a journal and read how my mom was at 20 years old, you know? I feel like you could get so much insight, you know?
Or like the stories. I'm like, tell me more, you know?
And also because we have this perceived evolution that happens, right? I mean, everything's happening at once, but I think it's so easy to assume who – we almost forget the past in such a way that, you know – who we can redefine it, essentially, is what I'm trying to say, is we can redefine our past and then we can't tell the truth between who we actually were and who we are now. And we can reshape our past to be whatever we want it to be. Yes. But journals are like a moment in time where you're like, oh, actually, I was this way. Mm-hmm. I'm remembering it differently, but this is how it was. I think that's a really big gift.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. insightful to actually see the progress that really happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, well, I'll reveal this here. But my next poetry book will be called Goodbye Maiden, and it's all the poems I wrote essentially first trimester. And one of the poems is – it's about carrying your baby, but it's – the line in it is something to the effect of, like, I hope you remember what it's like to be me. Because sometimes as kids, like, we forget that our parents had these, like, whole lives, whole experiences. Because, yeah, all we see is, like, the yearbook picture or something, and we don't know all the ins and outs, nor necessarily should we. But it's, like, that experience of, like – you know, as a mom, like as I shared, something that was so important to me is to have these life experiences, to be this, to reach a certain point of womanhood mm-hmm. before I felt like I was ready to be a conscious mother. And that's what that line is speaking to. And that's what the poems are about too, where I was a human first. Mm-hmm. I was a woman first. Then I was, or I am, a mother.
It's such a powerful time because your brain is literally changing. The chemistry of your brain is changing. So what a beautiful process to
– there's definitely a handful of poems that I have no recollection of writing at all. There's one that's like – it's long. It's probably like 3+ pages. I don't know. I really don't know when it – I have no memory of writing it.
Wow.
But it's wild and it's prophetic and it's beautiful. I have no memory of writing it.
That's amazing. We had one question that we want to ask you. Like, now that you are a mother, how has your intuition shifted or strengthened?
Oh, I'm so happy you asked this question. Two things prior to becoming pregnant. One, I had always heard mother's intuition, and I knew that was a very real thing. My mom is very intuitive. I've seen other moms. Like, I see how it gets activated. Second, I longstanding had a theory that mother's intuition was simply a permission slip to be intuitive, to be the intuitive woman leader you already were. Second part of that, 100% true. I feel like I'm on mushrooms all the time. That's how heightened my intuition is. Wow. It's not this all of a sudden new intuition. It is just a deepening and an amplification of how I already was. So I share that here for anyone who is not yet pregnant and thinking like, am I intuitive? Am I not? Like, yes, you absolutely are. And now is the time to be honing in on that and cultivating that experience with yourself because you will feel mother's intuition. Like if you go into motherhood completely unaware of your intuition, you're going to feel intuitive. It just happens. It's chemical. It's biological. But it is an amplification of the gifts and the skills and the connection that you already have within you. And to me, that's just – so beautiful because I feel so much more equipped to trust that intuition. Mm. And I actually just had a beautiful conversation with a client where she was comparing motherhood to, you know, what I always say, intuition plus action equals magic. Like, why is it so much easier in motherhood? She's like, I've just always known. I've always felt confident. I've always trusted my thoughts and my intuition. But like in business or in life, like it's harder to do. And I'm like, but you have to think about this. You had a lifetime of a world telling you not to listen to your intuition. Mm-hmm. Then you get pregnant for the first time. And it is like a big permission slip. Like you don't have all that conditioning, all that shading telling you not to listen to it. And actually, this is one areas we tell women to listen to their intuition is
right.
with mother's intuition. And it's like, so it's like that thinking through how much conditioning is going into how you're using your intuition in that moment. Mm-hmm. You have a whole lifetime telling you to not trust yourself, not listen to yourself, not listen to your inner knowing. And then motherhood hits and you're like, you have to. It's just like,
no other choice.
No other choice. It's just there. But you also don't have all that baggage of, you know, you didn't have a lifetime of somebody like, don't listen to your mother's intuition because you don't have a kid yet and no one's telling you that, right? Like you don't have that message ingrained in you. And like I said, it is one of the things we celebrate about mothers. But yeah, it's amplified.
It's interesting too because we were talking about this before we started recording, but everyone has an opinion once you're pregnant, like what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what you should eat, what you should not eat, how you should live. Oh, you're too big for how pregnant you are, like for your weeks mm-hmm. of being mm-hmm. pregnant. And I mean, everyone just has like their own opinion and especially people who aren't pregnant. And I think that the answer typically is, well, just trust your own intuition. Trust your own body. I feel like that's kind of at the root because otherwise you'd go crazy trying to listen mm-hmm. to everyone else and what they think is best for you.
Yes, which is also just so firing up the work that I do because I'm like, if you don't have an intuitive connection or you're intuitive but you don't yet trust yourself and then you're in motherhood and you're being told to trust your intuition, I'm like, oh my gosh, we got a lot of work to do. We got to figure this out. I got to get you to a place where you really trust yourself because that advice also sucks.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to trust your intuition.
100%.
You'd be spiraling. I mean, you'd just be still overthinking, spiraling, you know? It's just,
I hate the meat. Yeah. I hate the cured meat. What am I going to do?
Oh my God. So many things.
Like, SOS.
SOS. It's wild. It's wild times. It's very interesting how, you know, there's some things that people never give their opinion on. Mm-hmm. But this is one thing where everyone wants to have an opinion.
I think a lot of people have a lot of opinions.
Especially when they don't always express it.
I was going to say the giving part. So I was like, people say they always have a freaking opinion. Yeah. They might not be saying it to your face, but they might be going back and be like, so.
Correct. There's a lot more saying it to your face.
Yeah. But something with motherhood is just like, I think it comes from a safe place. Like they want to keep you safe. They want to make sure the baby's safe. I understand. But it's also like, come on.
Yeah.
Okay. So our very last question.
Yes.
Where in your life are you feeling called to be a more fully expressed life, love, business?
So I think my answer last time was around like dealing with like anger and rage and processing that.
I remember.
Which I need to do like a full journal session on that. But I feel so much more – I'm in the next evolution of that because where I'm calling – or where I want to feel more fully expressed now is the best way I can describe it is, well, I'm a human design projector. They have to wait for the invitation. And I think that has censored me in a lot of ways not ill-intended, but just, you know, trying to honor my design. So I'm finding that intersection of like speaking my full truth, even when I don't have an invitation or whatever the case may be. And it's been a lot of fun. I'm like, I use
everyone
Threads.
Go follow on Threads. Literally was going to say it's on Threads if you guys want to see Kelsey go at it.
I do. Threads is like my fully expressed microdose platform because I just can say whatever I want to say. And like sometimes I get blocked or people get mad or they say something weird. And it's just this way that I can like skin my knees up a little bit. Also, like journaling, refine my message, how I say things, you know. I want my words to create enough friction that people are inspired to be changed, but I don't want my words to create so much friction that I've absolutely lost the person. Mm-hmm. Though I do think they eventually come back around, but that is what I'm working on right now is just, audacity is the word that keeps coming to mind. Have you ever looked up that word in the dictionary? Everyone should do that. That should be a life activity. I'm going to butcher it now, but it's just like so like unabashedly bold.
Yeah.
Like,
kind of unapologetic.
Like, yeah. Like just
audacious.
Yes. And I just love that word.
I think it's important too what you said, because I mean, obviously I love astrology. I think human design's amazing. I think there's such beautiful tools for you to just better understand what's happening underneath on a more psychological level. But at the same time, I always tell people it's not limiting. Like, don't let it stop you from speaking your truth, or it doesn't define you. Mm-hmm. It's just a way for you to get better in touch with yourself. But it's not, you know, like when I give I don't anymore, but when I gave astrology readings, I always be like, you're all the signs. Even if you don't have a planet in a spot, like, you're all of it. We are so complex that you don't, just because you're a projector, like, you can invite yourself, you know, like, it's okay.
Yes.
And I think you can move beyond that. And it doesn't mean, like, maybe internally it'll still feel uncomfortable because that's not your comfort zone, but like, you're giving full permission to yourself to express even beyond that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I always say, I'm like, intuition trumps human design.
100%.
And when I do readings, I'm like, this is human design land.
Yeah.
But then your intuition is going to say something else. So like, we need to lean into that place.
And yeah.
Yeah. That's, it's fun so far. But yeah, threads is the spot.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm not on threads too much, but sometimes my phone, obviously, because we're friends and I follow you, I'll get like, it pops up and I'm like, damn, Kelsey's going off.
I'm like, woo, here she goes.
I was like, there it is. And I was like, ooh, that's good. I'll go in and like it or whatever. But I was like, damn, go Kelsey. What is she up to?
Yeah.
It's a fun place to play. And I think it's also really fun that you're in that place, because I think people that feel scared to be seen online, not you, but I'm talking to the community.
Yeah.
How nice is it to find a platform where you can play in that? You know, I was just talking to someone else in our community and I was like, I think you just need permission to play. Like, what if you just took the
pressure off
to like have a strategy, have a structure? I was like, just start playing. Like, find a platform where you can just start to play, whether it's in what you say and just like wherever you feel more comfortable with, and give yourself permission to play, because that's where you're going to expand your capacity to feel more seen, to be more visible, to be embodying your visibility. But forget the structure. Like, just start finding your voice.
And through your medium.
Your medium, whatever that is, right? And also even through Morning Pages Club, like finding your medium and finding your voice and through your communication, whatever that is. But get it out. Like, start either writing it, speaking it, expressing it, because it's in the expression where you get to meet yourself in the being seen part. And you find more.
And it could be a
bond. It's constipated. It's like the magic is endless. Cute.
No one wants to be constipated.
And it could be a bot attacking you anyways. You don't even know.
Oh my God, I never know.
That's what I tell myself now. I'm like, it's a bot.
There's there's definitely a type that usually is commenting, which they might be a bot, but they might be a different demographic. And I let them.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's also a great place to build your muscle.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people blocking you, leaving you, coming at you. We've had some conversations about your threads and you're like, wait, what reality are they in? Like, I didn't say that. Like, and that's the part that blows. That's the part that fascinates us. Even with some of our stuff that's gone viral. Now I look at our world. I'm like, wow, we're just this big. And there's like 150 different realities that like I'm not a part of. And I'm like, I am just so fascinated by your responses to my response. And I'm just like, not that I'm attacking you. I'm just like so like mind blown by like what is going on in your mind. Thank you for showing me and teaching me and expanding me to see better. But yeah, sometimes I'm like, we think that everyone, it's just,
it just, I think blows of Cat Williams. He said, if you don't have haters, feel free to hate on me.
Yeah.
But you should have 10 haters by the summer.
Yes. Amazing. I'm glad you brought up the play thing, because I was going to say, you know, this weekend we saw a, you know, move from playing checkers to chess, and chess is like more strategic and whatever. And I was just like, what if we just like demoted to just like play? Because remember when we would play and there was no rules? We just got to do whatever we want. I was like, I'm going to demote. Forget checkers, forget chess. I'm gonna just go
that's
to play.
The cool thing about
we made up our own games and we had fun. And
that's the cool thing about intuition too, is okay, that's amazing. This strategy worked for one person, but maybe that won't work for you. Maybe it doesn't resonate. That's okay too. It's like you said, it's a full permission slip to just be what is best for you. That's why no perfect diet, no this, no that. And I think when you're pregnant and you're thinking of another being inside of you, you're more open, I would imagine, to actually listening to yourself, because it's not just you anymore. It's something you're caring for. And before, because so many women who listen to our podcast don't put themselves first, it's easy to just think, well, what will they think, or put that person first. And now your number one priority is this.
My number one priority is still
her.
You.
I was going to say you.
We'll see the comments that we get on that. But
no, it should be.
No, it should be you.
100% you.
I should reword it. More like, this is your main priority.
Yes. Yeah.
besides yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. But I will not lose myself
to that.
That's as the worst thing I could do for 100% a child. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
For our king.
Our young king.
A little
our
baby young king.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you both. This is awesome.
Yeah. So good.
So good to have you back.
Yay.
We hope you loved today's episode and that it sparked something in yourself on your journey to becoming more fully expressed.
Don't forget to check the show notes for all the details and resources from today's conversation. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review.
We'd love to hear your thoughts and takeaways as it really helps us to create better content that actually serves you.
This week, we invite you to show up even more as you. More honest, more real, more expressive in your life and business. And we'll see you on the next one.